From the Word of God, Luke chapter 12, beginning at verse 22. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. Oh, how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? If you're not able to do the least, why are you anxious for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothes the grass, which today is in the field and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you? Oh, you of little faith. And do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind, for all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you need these things. But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell what you have and give alms, provide yourselves mercy, provide yourselves money bags which do not grow old, a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Let your waist be girded, your lamps burning. You yourselves be like men who wait for their master, when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat and will come and serve them. And if he should come in the second watch, or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched, not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can be used against you in court. You have the right to talk to an attorney for advice before we ask you any questions. You have the right to have a lawyer with you during questioning. If you cannot afford a lawyer, one will be appointed for you before any questioning if you wish. If you decide to answer questions now without a lawyer present, you have the right to stop answering at any time. Do you understand these rights as I've told them to you? You recognize, I hope only from watching TV, what the policemen say to a person who has been brought in for questioning and suspected of a crime. The Miranda rights. The passage that we study today tells two stories with one message. The first story is, don't worry, because God's in charge. God's in control. And the second thing is, because God's in control, don't worry, because Jesus is coming again. And when He does, He'll set all things right. And in the meantime, understand your rights as a believer in Jesus Christ. There was an ad that appeared in an Atlanta paper some years ago that talks about desperation, or that spoke of desperation, whether that was the intent of the ad or not. It spoke of great desperation. Desperately need money. The ad began. Clearing up debts. I will leave the rest to my children. For sale. Beautiful eyes. Beautiful blue eyes. Excellent condition. All bids over $100,000 accepted. Buyer pays medical expenses. Serious inquiries only. The woman who placed that ad was a widow, 36 years old. And all she had to take care of herself and her children was a Social Security check from the death of her husband. And it wasn't enough. And so, seeking to pay off $20,000 in personal debt, and then to pay off the note that was outstanding against their house, and to leave her children enough money so that they would have someone who might be able to care for them, someone she might call in, her friends perhaps, she thought this was the answer. And worried about all these things, she offered for sale the only thing of value she had, her beautiful blue eyes, in excellent condition. Now, the sale of eyes under those conditions is illegal. But I think you can sense the desperation of the 36-year-old single mother as she called or wrote to the newspaper. How wondrous it is to remember that the Lord promises to take care specifically Himself, the widows and orphans, those who are oppressed, to care for those who are lonely, to care for those who are down and out and discouraged and living in despair. That's what He promised. And as Luke writes today, those promises include two things. One, the certain hope He's coming back. And secondly, our rights as believers as we wait for His return. And I think it's high time, and perhaps you already have, but outside of this house, I'm not sure. I think it's high time that believers face the fact that things are going to get worse. A lot worse. And that realization and that understanding should keep us on alert. In another one of the Gospels, telling this same story, Jesus said, it's going to be like it was in the days of Noah. People are going to be going about their lives doing the ordinary things of life. Things that are neither right nor wrong, but things that they simply do as a course, as a matter of life. Going to parties, eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage. But the thing is, they have no sense of right or wrong. There's no belief in God Almighty. And in Noah's day, there was no belief in what Noah preached. And this one man with his family, the only one saved by a merciful and loving God, had given a message And the people didn't believe anything that happened until it started to rain and the floodwaters started to rise. So many today feel that the Lord has taken His hand off, or the Lord doesn't know what's going on, and they are convinced that standards, godly standards, have been completely abandoned by the world in which we live, or that there were never any standards to start with. And that's where we find ourselves. I looked for some current figures. The figures are more than 5 years old that I found. 2016. You've heard of the series of books called Left Behind, written by Tim LaHaye and Jerry B. Jenkins. They've sold over 80 million copies. Fictionalized version of what the authors projected might happen when Jesus returns. And in addition to that 80 million copies, Tyndale House, the publisher, has sold more than 10 million related items, such as computer saver, screen savers, postcards, calendars, board games, music, apparels, and collectibles. And there's a Left Behind series for children, the Left Behind Kids, targeted for ages 10 to 14, that have sold 10 million copies. There's an audio series and 6 movies and 4 video games. And I think the reason they sold so much is people want to know what's going on. I read a story recently about a man who was hiring a personal secretary. And he had whittled the applicants down to 2, brought them back for a second interview, and after interviewing the 2 women, he chose 1. Now, there was a rule in his company that any hires had to go before a certain board, a certain committee, and the man in charge of that went to the head of the company and said, "Why did you pick this woman over this woman?" The woman you did not pick is of a minority. Why did you not pick her? And the man said, "Well, it was simple. One of the women knew grammar, and the other woman didn't." And the man who had to give his approval to the hiring of the personal assistant for the head of the company said, "Grammar is subjective." Meaning what? Meaning there are no standards. Not even in grammar. And have you noticed that we insist on rules in sports more than we do in daily life and business? Well, there are rules, there are standards, and the Lord knows how much we hurt, and the Lord knows why we hurt. And He knows that the fellowship of believers is to provide times of encouragement. We come into this world weak. We're going to go out of this world weak. We're meant to be dependent from the first day. And that's what God teaches, not in being independent. And so a series of books sells 80 million copies. But Jesus says, if the master of the house knew that the thief was coming in the middle of the night, he would be on alert, he would be prepared, he would not be taken by surprise. The Lord doesn't want anybody to be taken by surprise when His promise is carried out. His promise is to return to claim His own. That's a day of glory. It's not to be a day of apprehension. Believers are confident that whether it's today or 10 years from today, it's in His hands. That's our confidence. That's the confidence of Christ. That's why we are not to live in sentimentality about the past or an apprehension of the future, but in confidence to follow Jesus. Now we're all interested in our rights. We're interested in human rights. They're very important. We're interested in civil rights. They're very important. We're interested in economic rights. And they're very important. But what about our spiritual rights? As far as the world is concerned, the human rights of Christians are to be restricted. And they are being restricted. It seems like year by year, there's more restrictions, more pressure put on Christians. Less and less freedom to practice the faith that we believe. You own a business. You own a bakery. And a couple comes in to order a wedding cake, and their lifestyle does not match with what you understand the Bible says. And you say, well, I thank you for the approach, for the offer to do business with me, but I can't do business with you. They take you to court and sue you. You're liable to lose. You own a photography business. That couple leaves the bakery shop, goes to arrange a photographer. You say, I appreciate your offer, but your lifestyle is contrary to the Word of God that I believe, and I cannot serve you. I'm liable to take you to court, and you're liable to lose. But beyond this, regardless of these things, as Christians, we have spiritual rights. Those are the rights on the basis of which we can call on the Lord God at any moment while we're living here and waiting for His return. At any moment, we can call on Him and exercise our spiritual rights. Jesus looked at the people who were sitting there, standing there as He was teaching, and said, I don't want you to worry. You have a right not to worry. The natural concern is, what will I eat? What will I drink? What will I wear? What about tomorrow? Look at the birds, Jesus said. They don't sow. They don't sow anything. They don't reap anything. They don't store anything. But your Heavenly Father feeds them. Look at the lilies. King Solomon, in all of his glory, never adorned himself like the lily. It doesn't spin, it doesn't do anything, yet your Heavenly Father provides clothing for the lily. And then Jesus said the Gentiles worry about eating and drinking and clothing, but your Heavenly Father knows you need all these things and will provide them. Without our working, no. Without our taking responsibility, no. But having done what He expects of us as human beings, the Lord promises to take care of our needs. Therefore, we don't need to concern ourselves about tomorrow. The Lord says, you have a right not to worry. Why? Because you couldn't be in better hands. Read me my rights. The Lord gives these rights to every believer. You have the right to eternal life. You have the right to be blessed every day that you're faithfully following Christ. You have a right to immediate access to the God of all this. No waiting, no interruptions, instant access. You have a right to forgiveness. You have a right to not having a past. You have a right to having a future. And all these rights are based on Jesus Christ, who went to the cross for me and for you, and who has never lied. When he makes a promise, it becomes a right. And as believers, we need to exercise our rights. Quoting the Miranda rights is easy. But our Christian rights? I've read recently a most unusual statement by a lawyer. And I did some more research and I found it said by another lawyer. And I did some more research and I found a lawyer giving a seminar and a video of that seminar. And the basis of these articles and the basis of the video was, if a policeman stops you or arrests you or calls you into question, don't talk to them. Don't answer them. Don't say anything. You have a right to remain silent. And they told how that what you say could be used against you, and what you, even though you're completely innocent, how it's said, how it's phrased, how it's repeated. But with the Lord God Almighty, there is not the fear that what we say will be held against us, that what we say will be twisted in any fashion, but what we say will be perfectly understood even if we don't understand it. Can you do anything different that'll change tomorrow? I don't know what tomorrow holds. You don't know what tomorrow holds. So the next time you wonder about human rights, civil rights, economic rights, seek the Word of God and those eternal rights, those spiritual rights that are guaranteed to us through Jesus Christ. Like the woman in Atlanta, desperate enough to sell her eyes in order to provide for her children, you may be filled with worries and cares, but you have a great Christ. And He is coming back. And in the meantime, He says, know your rights and don't worry. And you don't need to speculate and question and wonder and ponder. Let me tell you the four things you need to know about the return of Jesus. Jesus is coming again. Everyone will be there. No one will be late. Everyone will stay till it's over. Now, Tim LaHaye and Jerry B. Jenkins wouldn't have sold many books with those four points as the key of their fiction. But that's the truth of the gospel. Don't worry. With a Christ like that. And if you know your rights, the right to eternal life, the right to be blessed every day that you're faithfully following Christ, the right to an immediate access to the God of all this, the right to forgiveness, the right not to have a past, the right to have a future, you know those rights. Why would you worry?